And I want to invite you to take your Bible if you have it and turn to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, and we'll be looking at verses 18 through 20 together that we read a moment ago. As we talk about marriage and the family, the model of relationships that we have in the church are similar to the relationships that we are to have with the family. And one builds on the other, builds on the one, builds on the other. And just as the church is under attack by those who are not of the church, the marriage and the family are under attack as well. And the desire of Satan himself is to break down that foundational family unit in the body of Christ, the church, and in your home and in my home and wherever we reside. And it is difficult today to be married. It is difficult today to be a family because of all of the bombardment of message that we hear. If you think about it for a moment, we realize that there is so much redefining of relationships as it relates to marriage and family. There is so much redefining marriage and using the word marriage to include any and all genders and any combination thereof, and it waters down and pollutes that valuable definition that we think of as marriage and family. There are those that create suspicion concerning the biblical view of marriage, redefining the role of men and of women and fragmenting the family and isolating the children. And so it goes. And so we are in a difficult place as we seek to hold on to an ancient yet current valuable part of our life and our heritage, the family unit, and specifically marriage and the relationship that we are to have to husbands and to wives and to children. And where that starts out is a pretty gloomy beginning. And even though it is true, I would say to you that there is still hope for the marriage and the family and the church family as it relates to us and the world. The other day, I was at the counter at the paint store buying a gallon of paint, and the lady behind the counter was mixing the paint to my color match, and I was not dressed as the preacher, I was dressed as the painter. I was clearly had the marks of my work painting a house all over me, and so she was mixing the paint, and I said to her, and trying to strike up a spiritual conversation in a moment, thinking I was maybe going to offer some spiritual guidance or counsel to her, I said to her, I said, "What are your plans for Easter?" And she said, as she came up from the mixing paint, and I'm trying to imitate the way she said it, she said, "Church." Like, how dare you think there'd be anything else? It's like, okay, I get it. All right, I understand. And so I said, "Well, tell me about some of the activity." I didn't tell her what I did yet. And I said, "So tell me about some of the activities that you enjoy at your church related to Easter." And she said, well, the first thing we do is on Thursday night before Easter, we have our foot washing ceremony. And our pastor washes all of our feet. Well, there is that tradition. I mean, at the point of the Lord's Supper and as Jesus had his disciples around, I mean, there is that tradition and that expression. And be honest with you, I was a little threatened by that. I was kind of thinking of some of you, Kurt, the crawfish farmer, and Mitchell, you know, I was thinking of them feet, and I'm thinking, that pastor might be a bigger boy than me, but, hey, you know, it's in the Bible, and I'm thinking, maybe I'm trying. She said, but then after we have the foot washing ceremony and a little message time, we have a little shrimp stew, and I'm like, okay, I'm with you now. I'm on it. And so I said, well, then what happens the next day? And she said, well, the next day is Good Friday, and we have an event there, and we enjoy a Good Friday, you know, ceremony. We remember that Jesus was crucified on that day, and we come together, and then we have a little gumbo. And I was like, okay, I'm with you there. And then she said, but Saturday we take off. And I'm like, okay, I get that. And then her eyes lit up. She said, but then we have Sunday. Then we have Easter Sunday. And she said, all the ceremony around Easter Sunday. And she began to describe that. And then she said, after the Easter Sunday service, or maybe it was on Friday, I'm not sure which, but after the Easter Sunday service, we have the children's Easter egg hunt. And she said, that's a lot of fun to see the children running around. And then she took a pause because she got the courage, I guess. But she took a pause and she said, and after the children have the Easter egg hunt, you got to watch what she did. Trying to imitate as best I can. After the children have their hunt, she said, then the adults have their Easter egg hunt. And I said, well, all righty then. I'm really tracking with you. And she said, then the rest of the day we spend with family. And I said to her, boy, I want to go to your church. That sounds like a lot of fun. So, you know, I'll tell Eric later that maybe we need to have the adult Easter egg hunt after a while and see if we can do that. And we'll be challenged about the foot washing as well. I then told her that I was a pastor, and I said, we don't do all of that. We do some of it. And I said, maybe we need to add a few elements to our church to make it a little bit more fun. And we had a nice little conversation together, a random meeting that was not so random, talking about church. But here's the point I want to make to you. In her expression, it ended with family. It ended with family. And she was sharing with me how important it is to embrace the family. You know, when the Scripture talks about the family, all over the Scriptures, it talks about the relationships that wives are to have and the marriage relationships and husbands are to have in the relationship. And quite frankly, if I were going to rewrite anything in the Scriptures and make it a little bit more clear, I probably would have written these three verses in a different order. Because what we tend to do when we read these three verses in consecutive order, men and women tend to read that first verse, wives, submit to your husbands, and we both read it through the screen of our gender, and we really kind of stop there. Because in our modern culture, in our modern society, there is a great battling against this submission of wives to husbands, submission of anybody. And men who have a tendency to be powerful and lord over would tend to take that verse and manipulate. Aha, see it there. But the truth of it is, if you've got to read past that in order to understand the full context. And it basically says, wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord, as is fitting in the Lord, as is similar to the way the Lord relates, teaches us to relate. That's what that talks about. And husbands, love your wife and do not be bitter towards them. Well, in this passage of Scripture, it talks about that attitude of relationship. But when you read the other passages of Scripture, it speaks of, in Ephesians specifically, it says, husbands, love your wives as to the Lord. And so if you take it in reverse order and you think about the role of the man in the relationship, men, it's responsibility of men to love our wives as to the Lord and love our wives as Christ loved the church. And remember what Christ did for the church, not the building, but for you and me. What did Christ do for the church? He died for the church. We are on the way to celebrating his death, burial, and resurrection. Jesus died for you and for me. Now, all of us who are saved, as was sung about a moment ago, would confess that none of us in our sin were worth Jesus' life. Except for the fact that Jesus decided that we were. By the grace of God and by the grace in that act of Jesus, He decided that we were worth dying for when we were at our worst, so that He could make us our best. And so, men, it's a heavy burden of ours. It's a heavy burden of ours to love and love our wives and be willing to lay down our wives to be able to nurture and care for and create a security for them so that they will feel the ability to give submission and leadership over to men. And so those two verses need to be understood in a combination of ways. As we think about the role of the wife in the marriage relationship and looking at some of the other passages of Scripture, just real quickly, Ephesians 5, it says this, wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church. He is the Savior of the body. Just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be subjects to their own husbands in everything. Titus, it says this, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, taking care of the family. In other words, good, obedient to their husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. 1 Peter 3, 1 through 6 speaks of it in the same way. Wives, be submissive to your husband. Here's the thing that we need to understand as we read through the Scripture and understand the relationship of men and of women. If us as men are submitting to our families and leading our families as Christ is leading the church, if we are willing to take care of and secure and care for and guard and guide our families as Christ cared for the church, if we are willing to lay down our lives for our family and our wives, then that kind of man, which is not easy to accomplish, that kind of man is easy to submit to, is easy to follow. Now, man, it's also important to understand that we don't wave a magic wand and get that kind of spirit in our lives immediately. We don't. It just doesn't come easily. To learn to be Christ-like is a lifetime accomplishment. Is it a lifetime pursuit? And I would think that in any of our families, in any of our marriages, to see the progress, to see the effort, to see the achievement being made year on year and season of time over to season of time would be acknowledged in the family. In other words, we're not going to master this lay down our life ability for our family today, but we are going to effort to be more caring and more nurturing and more understanding and more spiritually minded and more growing in the Lord so that that marriage relationship can be stronger and be developed over time. In that marriage relationship, wives are to follow the leadership of their husband who is leading after Christ and to build up in the family a community of support and of encouragement and care and respect that makes both of the partners better and stronger. Even in the very beginning, when God created Adam and Eve, He created them equal but different and helped them to understand that they both have a contribution to make in the marriage relationship. And so as the Word of God helps us to build up this marriage relationship with one another, we also read in the Scriptures that the husband has a significant role to play in the marriage relationship. He says, "Husbands, love your wife. Love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for her." We have to ask ourselves the question, are we loving our wives that way? And the answer will always be not as much as we could. And that's what time and growth and development should be all about, that we are to love our wives and love our families as much as we possibly can. In Hebrews, it says this about our loving of our families and our relationship as it relates to the church. As it says in Hebrews chapter 3 through 6, "As Moses was faithful, Christ as a son was over His own house, whose house we are if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of hope firm to the end." And so Hebrews is saying that as Christ was manager over His own house, the house of the Lord, we can follow after that example and be managers and leaders of our household as well, which relates to our relationship that we are to have with one another in the church family. Men to men, women to women, family to family, we are as the church to build up the family. We are to build up individual families that live at individual addresses, and we are to build up the family of God, which is the church family. That relates to our accountability to one another, the building up of one another, the encouraging to one another, the follow-up when things are broken or hurting, and to be strong with the body of Christ, the family, as well. In 1 Peter, it speaks of Jesus' relationship to the church, and he says this, "You also as living stones are being built up as a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Christ Jesus." You as a church, we as a church are to be living stones, building up this spiritual house, holding fast the confidence that we have that it'll work as we strengthen the family and as we strengthen the church family as well. As we think of the role of men in the relationship, we also are understanding that we are to walk in love as Christ also has loved us and has given Himself for us, an offering and sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling aroma. We are to have that kind of love for one another, and we are to build that love up and encourage that love as men and as families in the church. In Hebrews 7, it says this, "As husbands, we are to be like Christ, making intercession," meaning prayer. "Therefore, He is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through Him, since He always lives to make intercession for them." As the church, we have a responsibility to pray for one another. The truth of it is, we can't fix everything that is one another, But we certainly can be about the activity of praying for one another and calling on the most powerful force in the universe, God Himself, to bring about the fix, to bring about health, to bring about healing, to bring about resolution, to bring about encouragement and comfort and strength. In the same way, we have a responsibility in our family to pray for our family and to pray for our wives and to pray that they would be healthy and well, to pray that our wives would flourish and be strengthened and built up in the Lord, to pray for our children. I'm in an age now where my children are all displaced. I don't get to see them on a regular basis. And so it's a transition for me. One's in the east and one's in the west. Another one's halfway to the west. And I can't see them all the time, but I can pray for them. Last week, I got to see them all in the same week. It was an incredible blessing. You've been there if your children are out of the home. But whether I'm physically with them or not, I can pray for them. And I can pray for them to be well and healthy and growing and strong and spiritually developed. I can pray for their new marriages, their young marriages, that those marriages would be strengthened as well. My son CJ left and went back to Houston last night. It was a wonderful text at 9:03 that he texted me and said, "I made it." Just to know that he's safe and secure, "I made it," driving through Houston at night. It's a securing thing. And so when we have the responsibility as a church and when we have that responsibility in family, the truth of it is we're not doing it all by ourselves. We're doing it with the help and the encouragement of the Lord. And so the husband and wife have an interesting dynamic in the marriage relationship. As men are leading and seeking to follow after Jesus, and women are seeking to follow after their husband as they follow after Jesus, then regardless of what the world says, that model works. And it will stand the test of time in the church and in the world in which we live. Paul writes to the Colossians and said, "Wives, submit to your husbands. Husbands, submit to the Lord. And children, obey your parents." Children hear that and they bristle. But here's how it works. In the family relationship, if mom and dad are loving each other and loving Christ and are having a biblical example and a biblical model of family and marriage in the relationship, then it's not necessarily going to happen immediately, but children are going to be more likely to follow after the leadership of parents who are following after the Lord. And so even as they grow and develop through their stages and find their place of independence and exercise their own thoughts and their own creative process, there is still this matter of obeying and of respecting parents who are providing and leading them to grow up and flourish in life and in the world. As they seek to become independent and as products of upbringing as well, then it's necessary for us to build that dynamic relationship with them so that they can leave and flourish and be ready and equipped to be all that they can be in the Lord. And when that kind of relationship happens in the family, there is this anticipation of a free-flowing dialogue about life and about experiences, and the children begin to give in to the family relationship, not just receive back, but give in and invest in the relationship so that that flow and that respect goes both ways. Well, as we think about the family and as we think about the church family on the eve of the Easter season, it's important for us to enhance and make it remarkably important again, this marriage and family relationship one with another. It's important for us to reiterate how necessary it is for men to be leading under the leadership of the Lord, for women to follow after a man who's following after Christ, to build into the family this dynamic relationship with children so that the family can flourish in the Lord. Now, I want it to be an encouragement to us as we read through the Scripture and as we go into this family season called Easter and the days to come, that the family and the church family would be strengthened in Jesus Christ.